I just want to tell you something before we finish about our group. It's a specialist group to spread knowledge, spiritual knowledge, into the world atmosphere, if you like, or the mental part of the world, the planetary structure, to illuminate mankind. Now, over the few dozen years, there were always some groups of souls incarnating at a particular time, usually within a 100, 200 year period, to bring about changes in the planetary thinking or planetary structure, planetary society or life, by their work for a period of time. So our group of souls, the function is to introduce universal knowledge into society, because as you know, in the olden days, the East had very particularized form of knowledge, and the West had also very particularized forms of knowledge, and they were kind of disunited, not only in terms of location, but also in terms of ways of being and ways of doing. So our function of this group is to unite the East and West, the past and present and the future, into one synthesis, into one wholeness, and to express it in daily life. Of course, this is a specialist school in the same way as you have specialists in healing, specialists in the arts, specialists in science. Sometimes groups incarnate in science to stimulate scientific knowledge. Other times a group incarnate to stimulate the world of art. Always specialist group come to do their particular job, to stimulate the human consciousness along a particular line. So our group is functioning to stimulate along the line of occult knowledge, spiritual knowledge, the real knowledge which mankind needs. So I just want to tell you, those of you who've been with me since a long time ago, if you remember back 35, 36 years ago at Waitatuna, our center, I used an image that the dogs are howling and the caravan moves on. And lately I've been using an image, the wolves are howling and the train moves on. Well, what it means is that 35 years ago I used the symbol of the old caravans. You know, those of you who know a little bit of history, you know that they were caravan routes all the way from China through Southeast Asia, through the Arab countries, into Europe, carrying goods from coffee to incense to gold and all kinds of stuff. There's a whole routine of a caravan trek into Europe and back from Europe to those countries. In those days, the image which I was telling the group, that there was a point of time after each retreat that the caravan moves on. In other words, we finished a section of the work and it's time to pack up the bags and to move on. And I used this symbology of the old caravan routes, because what happened is that you had a horse or carriage caravan routes or camel caravan routes, but at certain points they stopped and rested, and then they moved on to the next point and stopped and rested and kept moving like that. But the caravan always moved on. Some people may have only come from China to, say, Pakistan or someplace, and they stopped there. Others moved along the caravan a little bit longer and they stopped there. Others kept going on and on and on. So nowadays, the image I use is the train. We're moving along the train, and we stop at certain stations, but we're moving on. So the group is still moving on. After all these years, it is still moving on. And if you've been with us for a long time, and if you remember back the early days, and try to feel the energy of those days, and try to feel the energy now, you will see that it's completely different. So in the early days, we didn't even have our center. We used to go to Tauhara, another center in New Zealand, and we used to do our work from there. And if you compare the energy of those days in Tauhara and compare the energy of today, it's just nothing like, it's not the same group. So what I'm trying to tell you as a last sort of a reminder is that this is a living group, and it's a living teaching, it's a living reality, and it ever keeps moving on. So again, with a modern analogy, some people come in, hop on the train, and go a couple of stations, and they stop. Other people hop on the train and keep moving and keep moving on. So that's why our teaching is not fixed. It's not fixed in the Eastern idea. It's not fixed in the Western idea. It's fixed what is today, here and now. And that's because our mission is to be in the here and now and have access to all sorts of wisdom for the here and now, because all sorts of wisdoms now have to be formulated, put together for the modern human society or the modern human being. Today, the people are very different, especially in the West. Actually, the West is advancing much more rapidly than in the East. It's because for 6,000 years, the East was the kind of the focal point for revelation. But now the focal point for revelation is the West. Increasingly, the Western societies, the Western civilization, amongst Western countries, the new spiritual teachers will arise. Those teachers who understand the New Age modality or the New Age way of doing things, as against the old-fashioned, say, Tibetan or Hindu systems, which are outdated. They still have them, of course, but increasingly as the years go on, even in the East, even in India and Tibet and all those places, increasingly they take over the Western modality of spirituality. Because in terms of the planetary evolution, there's a switch. For 6,000 years, the main light shone on the East. Now the light is start coming into the West, and the main light will be shown in the West, so that the Easterners will learn a lot from the West. Mainly, the idea of group unity. If you study the whole Eastern system, it's all individual development, individual self-realization, individual this and that, which is good. That was the thing the last few thousand years that was given to humankind to develop. And the Western societies were kept secret. The group work, the group idea, the group vision was very much in minority, because that was just not the focal point. So the focal point of the light, or the focal point of the hierarchy, was the individual development of each soul until they reached perfection. That was the focus. But now that is taken off, and the focus will be increasingly group work, group enlightenment. So rather than one being enlightened, we're talking about groups being enlightened. So several hundred people at the same time being enlightened, moving along the same train or the same caravan route. As I said, we will forget about the caravan routes now. We're using the modern Western idea of the train. But it's the same thing. The idea is that this new modality is moving together as a group. But there's one more point to it. You still have your own individual swadharma, responsibility. Now, that's another addition. Because in the old system of the West, whether you look at the Rosicrucian system, the Masonic systems, the Hermetic systems, the Kabbalistic systems, the Egyptian, Greek, Roman mystery schools, there was no individual responsibility. There was only group. The group did things together. They did their ritual, whatever pattern of spirituality is ever working. But it was always group. It's not kind of every person taking responsibility. Everything did together was a group thing. Now, in the East, it was individual responsibility for your own liberation, enlightenment. So when you put that together, within our newest system, the really new system, it will be group work plus individual responsibility. So that's the newest, what we're presenting in the school. Group work means that we work together in fusion, and each is at a particular level of development where they are at. Therefore, each person within that category is responsible for their own development or evolution or furtherance on the path, but at the same time still part of the larger team. And this is the new way, the really, really new age way, the really new Aquarian way. So we're demonstrating something which will be increasingly the way of the planet, including the East. Even in India and the Buddhist countries, they will realize the significance of working together as a group as a group, not just simply coming together as a group and each individual doing their own thing. That's not really group, even if they're together, but they're still individual. They will realize the idea of working together in one team as a group. Planetary evolution is moving in that direction. And also, the important thing is that the whole planet itself is moving along unification. And this is why you have in business, in politics, in all kinds of structure on the planet where they want to unify increasingly into oneness, in one bigger grouping. You know, you have political groupings, you have business groupings, all kinds of groupings. Actually, they're wrongly expressing it. The idea is there, but they just simply take over. The bigger takes over the smaller, okay? Until the bigger one gobbles up all the smaller ones. They got the idea, but wrongly applied. But in any case, the whole idea is that within 200 or 300 years, we have one planet. If the idea will be carried out correctly by the human consciousness, then we have only one planet. There will be one planet. There will be no central point of one person or one country or one something ruling everybody else, but there will be one single unit of consciousness within the planet. If everything is working out correctly. In other words, if the human consciousness can handle the sensation of a cosmic unity within the planetary structure, and also at the same time our planet will be integrated more into the planetary structure of the solar system itself. And it will be also realized that the solar structure is only part of a much greater unity. We have 12 solar systems working together in a larger unity, and so on. So what I'm trying to say is that the sense of unification is increasing on the planet, however sometimes wrongly applied, purely selfish purposes or self-interest in business or politics or whatever. But as the human consciousness grows, people will realize that this is nothing to do with themselves, it's to do with a planetary wave of evolution or a planetary way of development. It's nothing to do with themselves personally. It's a much larger picture. But at the moment, it's kind of not really applied and understood. So referring back to our group will also move on increasingly with the idea that everybody, no matter what they do in the group, no matter what level they are at, still part of the team. And I'll try to explain to you two things. One, on a train journey, that you may have a train which has 6 carriages or 10 carriages, and each carriage has different number of seats, and yet the people, no matter what part of the train they are at, they're still moving in the same direction. It doesn't matter what level they are at, they still move on. So our group is moving together, and as much as the group stays together, and as much as the group understands the purpose of the group. So if a person comes into the group only for the idea of their own spiritual development or what they can get out of it, well, they still have the Eastern modality. You know, especially in the beginning, in the early days of the group, 35, 36 years ago when this group was formulated, there were a lot of people from the Eastern mentality. You know, they come in because they want self-realization, God-realization, nirvana, whatever the idea they had, just for themselves. And that's the Eastern modality, because they were still Eastern as in their thinking. But as the years go on, some of them realize that, well, the group is actually for a bigger purpose than an individual development. It's part of a planetary development. It's part of a larger picture. So they try to be part of the larger picture. So we still have in our group people who are a little bit more Eastern in their ideas. Others are definitely more Western and understand the need for group cohesion, group unity, and what the group is trying to do. Our specialty is knowledge. And a lot of people underestimate knowledge. A lot of people think that, you know, the yogis in the East who sit and meditate, and in some of the old days they're doing better for the world than we do. Actually, they don't. When you absorb yourself in samadhi, you see the light, you're in the light, and that's fine for you. Easterners say, well, when the Buddha is meditating, he's putting out these wonderful, beautiful waves, and that benefits the world. Yes, those who can actually receive those waves. But you find that the average person is millions of miles away being able to have those waves. So the Buddha could be literally meditating there, throwing out beautiful vibrations on the nirvanic plane, but it's totally useless to the person here below. So that's where the Easterners are wrong. They say that, you know, if you go in samadhi, you're helping the world. The one or two could respond to it. The others can't. Millions of people can't respond to that. So that's where we come into it. Our job is not to be Buddhas and having some wonderful realizations there which nobody can receive anyhow. Our job is to transform the world in the here and now, where people are in society here and now. That's the field of knowledge. And through that knowledge, we can actually help people to come towards that Buddha state, because the average person can't do it anyhow. So our job is at an intermediary level where we can touch people just exactly where they are at. No matter what part of the train they are at, we give them the knowledge, and through self-effort in that state where they are in, and the group cohesion, being together in the group, we are journeying along together as a group, as well as part of the stream of evolution which is moving along the planet. Because you know what a group does, it influences the whole planetary life. You know, you might be a very, very small group, and if you look back history, all the specialist groups were very, very small. If you look at the Greek mystery temples, there was very few people really in it. Everybody talked about initiation, everybody talked about the mysteries. It was a big, long talk about discussion, but the actual people in those schools were very few. Same in the Egyptian system, the Roman system, in any system, in the Freemasonic system, the Rosicrucian system, the Kabbalistic, the alchemical system, all occult groups were always small. They were never a mass religion. You always had the mass religion where millions of people worship some gods or goddesses, what we call the mass religion, that they were always there. But the specialist people engaged in specialist work, they were always very, very few. So that's why we don't expect our school to become large with hundreds of thousands of people coming in and going out, because it wouldn't work anyhow. A group of specialist people have a particular job to perform, a particular task to perform for the planetary evolutionary level, and that's all they do. And even a small group of people specialize in a particular field and putting that knowledge or whatever purpose they are here for into the planetary atmosphere is helping the evolution of the planet or helping to change society. You know, if you haven't got the larger vision, then you might think, oh, well, you know, we come together and this group learns something or another and we come and do this. But you are not aware of the invisible radiation. We emanate a certain radiation, a certain energy field, which increasingly people are able to connect to it, because the planetary structure itself is changing, so ever more and more large number of people are able to tune into spirituality at a certain level, their own level. In other words, in spite of all what appears to be in the world, which is a lot of wrong things appear to be in the world, but also there's more and more people able to sense that things are not right and they should be made right, and that there is a way to be making it right. So whether we meet those people or not, we're putting out waves to the whole planetary structure. And there are some people who will pick up on those waves because it's low enough for them to pick it up. Now, if we all be sitting in transcendental samadhi up in the causal world or beyond the causal worlds, well, nobody would take any notice of that except people in those causal worlds or beyond the causal worlds. They will take notice, but down here, nobody would know that even we existed. But if we put out the dynamic waves of knowledge, as I said, the knowledge is the key to it all, then that knowledge itself is a vibration, it's a fine energy field. And that's what a lot of people, as I said, in our group in the early days, they came from the Eastern system, from Eastern gurus, anybody from Swami Muktananda or Shivananda, or any of the Eastern gurus at those days, a lot of them came into a group and they had this Eastern idea of liberation for themselves, of course. So the thing is that with this group, your idea of liberation is still correct. You still have to work for that. But it is still only part of a much larger thing you have to be. You have to become a universal person in order to help the planetary evolution. So basically, although we each working our own perfection or liberation or whatever you like to call it, which is a must, at the same time, because of our radiation energy, the knowledge field we're putting out, remember this knowledge field is very fine energy. And a lot of people who are devotional types don't understand the significance of knowledge. You know, they think that we're giving out positive vibes when we are chanting, which is totally true. We're giving out positive vibes when we are meditating. That's totally true also. But even the fact that we're talking about spiritual things is a very powerful tool. We talk about all those things, about the Gayatri and all the various steps of the path and all those things. They're not nothing. They are actually vibration waves which impact on the atmosphere of the planet. When you talk about truth, when you talk about some realities, that is actually impacting on the planet, very realistically. And a lot of the people who are on the devotional side, they don't understand that. They think, well, you know, talking about those things is fine, there's nothing to it, let's do chanting instead. Because they're still on the Eastern stream, which is nothing wrong with it. But what it is that knowledge itself, when you talk about it, is a very, very powerful transforming power. Even a person hearing that knowledge, that in itself already something is planted in that person's consciousness. Even when they pick up our books, that's why I put such an emphasis on the sounding light. Each book we produce, each CD or whatever we produce, puts an energy field into the atmosphere of the world. Whether you're aware of it or not, it still happens. Whether you're aware of energies or not, it still happens. And in its own time, it flares out. It's like when people read those books or listen to those talks or whatever, even if at that time they can't relate to it or they can't understand it or comprehend it, nevertheless a seed has been cast. So the more books we produce, the more CDs or DVDs produced, the more those vibrations hit the planetary atmosphere, planetary structure, and puts new energy, new waves of life into that. And sooner or later some people respond to it. They don't know where it comes from, they just have an inspiring idea. They just start doing things differently because they've been impacted. So our school's mission is to bring down the spirituality on the physical level to such a degree that the average person who is ready for the new waves of evolution can access it. Once it has been talked about in our group, once it has been produced in book form or whatever, that itself is already established in the physical world. So this is why I try to make our group understand that all things are very important and significant, even if they themselves don't realize what it is for. A lot of people don't understand the purpose of the sounding light, our publishing section, because they think, okay, it's just a book and there's thousands of books in the world, so what's the difference? Well, the difference is that you have books in the world which have got little knowledge, books in the world which has terrible ignorance, and books in the world which has greater knowledge, and books which have pure spiritual knowledge. Now, we try to introduce into the world consciousness the pure spiritual knowledge, what comes from pure spiritual sources. And that itself helps the purifying of the planetary atmosphere. Because the planetary atmosphere, especially, as I mentioned before, the astral world, is tremendously polluted. Because of the misinformation and disinformation coming from psychics and mediums and channelers since 1875, they've been controlling the publication of books with totally wrong information, a totally wrong wave, totally wrong direction. And there's hundreds and thousands of these books available. So the people reading those, they have the wrong information, wrong understanding of everything coming from those books. So to counteract, we're also putting into the world ideas, or rather facts, which are really the real facts of spirituality, the real life of spirituality. So try to somehow modify the disinformation and misinformation which comes from the astral world. So that's why it is important for the group to understand that even when we talk about the spiritual path, it's a powerful tool. And even just to talk about it immediately generates a purified atmosphere on the planet, because the truth is being said. And once the truth is being said in any form, that is purifying itself. So it's not a matter of only just doing chanting and doing all these happy things together. That's only one part of it. The dissemination of knowledge is the most important part of it. Because, as I said, knowledge is not only power, it's really an energy wave. It's a reality of its own. So when we talk about something which is defects of spiritual life, we already increasing the planetary energy field towards the light. So that's why, you know, it has to be understood that this is part of our work. It's an important part of our work. Anyhow, so the caravan is moving on, which is the east, and we left the caravan behind long time ago. Now we're going on the train, and we're going on a speedy train, the latest bullet train. Apparently, there is now very fast trains which can go up to 300 kilometers an hour. But imagine the mess they make when they go off the track. Actually, I'd rather have the slow train, slow but steady train, and you know that it will get there. So we are one of the slow train schools, but we know we are getting there. And it's a safe and sure school. A part of our system is that we don't use techniques which are very effective, very rapid, but very dangerous. As I mentioned many years now, that if the pupils in our school only follow our system and don't mix it up with some psychic stuff or some other wrong methods, there should never be anything wrong with them. They should always just travel on healthily and happily along the path. There should not be real damages. So basically, this is a safe school which we use, provided it's not mixed up with some wrong other stuff. And that's the specialty of the school, slow, steady, and sure. Instead of, you know, you have quick, rapid progress, which may work out if you're lucky enough, but on the other hand, you might ruin yourself for life, for lives. So anyhow, this is the way of our school. And this particular retreat is finished, but it's not really finished. Remember that when you go home, you're still part of the school, and you're still part of the moving train. We're still moving on. The movement is always going on until the next stop, which will be the next retreat, and the next stop, which will be the retreat after that. But the process itself is always moving on. It's an invisible process, and if you keep tuned into it, then you always be moving on within yourself. It's an invisible stream of energy our school has, which keeps moving on. All right, that's all the little message I think I needed to tell you, to appreciate what we are doing, increasingly more with understanding, and where we are in the world in terms of our responsibility or relationship to the world, and where we are in terms of the planetary movement, which is increasingly being speeded up. And increasingly people need to know more what the real spiritual purpose is, because there's so many conflicting views and opinions, so many techniques and so many things are presented to the public that they're really just totally confused. There's very few people actually have a clear idea of a spiritual path. A lot of people have ideas about psychic path, psychism. A lot of people have ideas about personal development courses, personality stuff, millions of it like that. But a school which has got a pure spiritual idea, not mixed up with personal stuff, not mixed up with psychic stuff, it's very, very few. And so we represent that few schools to give people the necessary advice and knowledge. A group exists, the school exists. The group energy will influence the world, and therefore the invisible powers or the people who are on the side of the light, they can work through us because we're already in existence. So over the years, we're increasingly giving out wonderful knowledge to the world, which is our particular task.